My friends Barb Wallace and Tom Wolfe are starring at the Waterfront Playhouse in Key West, Florida, The Angel Next Door.
That is correct. Yes. Paul Slade Smith's play. It's been done at Laguna Playhouse.
Peninsula Players in Door County, Wisconsin.
But is this the first time the play has been produced with two actual writers playing the roles of actual writers in the play?
I hope so.
That's very possible.
But probably.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 19th year, number 948, Key West Angels. Paul Slade Smith's romantic comedy, The Angel Next Door, is in its final week of performances at the Waterfront Playhouse in Key West, Florida. Directed by Waterfront's artistic director Patrick New, The Angel Next Door tells the tale of a young writer whose novel has been adapted for the stage by successful Broadway playwrights and married couple Charlotte and Arthur Sanders. In the Waterfront production, Charlotte and Arthur are played by successful Chicago playwrights, television writers and directors, sometime actors, and friends of the pod, Barbara Wallace and Tom Wolfe, who hopped on Zoom with me on the eve of their tech rehearsals to talk to me about what it's like to act on stage in a backstage farce, or indeed, what it's like to be back on stage acting at all.
I doubt there are a lot of writers who have been performers ready to take on the comedy farce of
and the right age to play at the right
it's a very small casting pool,
so there's probably very little acting involved, I'm guessing, for the two of you.
We're not acting
trying to remember the lines.
We're really trying to remember the lines.
There's a lot of lines, and we're in our 60s, and that's hard.
Yeah, we admire you, Austin. We know that you do it all the time, but we don't. And
those tools, if they were ever there, have rusted and they're dissolving into the ground.
I will say, though, we go into tech tonight, and I would say last night we only called for lines a couple times. So I would say
it's a muscle like everything else. Every night you get a little stronger. That muscle gets a little stronger. And I know, particularly you, Tom, I know how scrupulous you are about the written word and how written dialogue is better than, say, improvised dialogue. So I know you want to get it just right.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yes. Austin is referring to a conversation I had with Daisy, his lovely daughter, and who's all, an actor, an improviser, about improv. And I was just saying a good writer will always provide a better line than an improviser. But a writer reading a writer's line is a whole nother level of, so we're, as writers, we're judging lines.
Poor Paul Slade Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done a lovely job, but we're writers. So we're like, well, I would have written it differently.
Well, I've certainly worked with actors like that. I'm... You know, actors who aren't writers. I mean, there's this isn't a rolling premiere or a work in progress. This is a script that exists, so it's
We have received some changes from the author, but they're very few.
And what's it like to be? I know you guys work together in a very loose form as storytellers, and in a looser form as storytellers, and sort of stand up comedians. What's it like being back in a more traditional rehearsal process, working with other actors and a director who presumes to tell you what to do?
It's very hard.
But you know what? I like it. Is
Barb acted? I barely acted, like in an actual. I acted in one thing that was called a play, and I'm not sure people down here know how little I have actually acted. I'm not sure that is a thing.
Fortunately, nobody listens to this podcast, so your secret is safe.
Well, certainly Key West would be new to your podcast, but that doesn't mean we're not going to promote it.
Sure, sure. But you both are directors too, so you you respect the idea that somebody's got to be in charge.
Oh, and you know what? Patrick New is the director, and he's also artistic director of the Waterfront.
And he's also the lunatic who hired us.
And he's also an old friend.
So it's on him. Yeah.
Totally on him. It's great. I mean, we aren't, we're old, and we've had a career as writers, so we're not invested in ourselves as actors. So when Patrick gives us a note, we're all in. We're like,
yeah,
great.
I'll do it. I'm a performing seal. I will go over there.
It's not like we are a long time, have been on the stage for a long time recently. And we don't have an investment in like how we're perceived or kind of what kind of actors we are.
There's a very good chance we'll never do this again.
Yeah. So it's like it's actually really fun to just like Patrick will say, hey, I think the character should do this. And you go like, sure, I can do that. And also having been on the other side of things as executive producers on television shows, having agreeable actors, we know, is a very important thing. And so I think we both try to be agreeable actors. And
be the actors you would like to work with. Yes.
Right. And
if say yes.
And if there's blocking that's odd, it's like, it's the actor's job to maybe find the reason.
It's our job to make it work.
Acting instead of complaining.
And also, the whole cast here is like that. I mean, there's not anybody who isn't super professional in the same way and the kind of actor who says yes.
It's freeing when you're not doing your own material and you're not directing.
Yeah,
all you have to do is show up and not fall over.
That's right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Who said hit your mark and say the
Jimmy
line?
Jimmy Cagney.
Yeah, Jimmy Cagney.
Hit your mark and say the line.
Yeah.
We still have trouble hitting that mark.
Yeah, and saying the lines. But other than that, we're very Cagney-like.
It's funny. I found myself when I was doing this play at Cincinnati Shakespeare last summer, and it was a new play. If there was an acting transition that needed to happen that I wasn't feeling or I didn't feel was supported by the text as it existed right then, I would say, I you're going to have to help me here, director, playwright. You're going to have to help me here. But if they needed me to cross to the couch on one line so I could collapse into it comically on the next line, I could do that sort of thing all day. I could do shtick all day. Is there shtick in this play?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a farce. There's plenty of...
I roll across a bed and run out a door, and it's a farce.
Yeah, someone eats a script. I mean, it's a farce.
Do you both get down to your underwear?
No. Tom does more. Do you do more?
Underwear?
No, farce.
a little. Because I run out the door. I close and open more doors.
My character is kind of the puppet master of the story. So
Barb, the whole thing's on Barb's back.
Yeah, I run the show here.
I'm not sure she realized even after reading the play, I'm not sure she realized.
Yeah, and then I was like, wait a second.
You pretty much never leave the stage.
You don't leave the stage. And I move the action along completely. I'm really, I don't know what to say. I'm the functionary of the play. And it's a lot of function. So I have less, I would say I don't have to roll around so much or anything like
that. If this play is a vehicle, you're the driver.
I am the driver.
Oh, definitely.
I am definitely the driver.
Well, and again, great casting because you're a director. You know how to make things happen.
It's true. I mean, once I know the script, like I know how to move it along.
Yeah.
But most of the actors, I say, they're very good and they all, they can all move it out of a problem spot if they need to.
Hi, I'm Ken Ludwig, a playwright and author of Lend Me a Tenor, Crazy for You, Baskerville, and the new book, How to Teach Your Children Shakespeare, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Thank you.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Next month, in March of 2025, we'll return to the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts for the three-week Lort Theater premiere of The Comedy of Hamlet, a prequel. And then this April and May of 2025, we're bringing back an updated version of All the Great Books Abridged and performing it in Bristol, Tennessee, Harrisonburg, Virginia, Louisville, Kentucky, Elyria, Ohio, Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, and Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Check out the touring page at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with Barbara Wallace and Tom Wolfe, talking about their return to the stage in Paul Slade Smith's romantic comedy, The Angel Next Door, now in its final week of performances at the Waterfront Playhouse in Key West, Florida. I was going to struggle with describing the two of you because you've had both had such interesting and varied careers. But then you sent me the press release from the theater that calls you eccentric artists. And I went, that'll do it. That does it. There you are. Eccentric artists making eccentric art. That's both, I think, laudatory and true. Wouldn't you say?
Cynical artists might also be...
Cynical, disaffected.
You know what we've discovered? In TV, we used to write and write and write, and you'd write stage direction, and the actors would never read it, and we'd call it the funny type. Like, yeah, don't forget, actors can't read the funny type. And they go, why am I doing this? It's like, well,
it's in the funny type speech.
The thing above it, that's where... But we're guilty of the exact same thing as actors. We have not read.
Honestly, last week I was like, oh my gosh, did you know I was supposed to be bringing this over there? And fortunately, Patrick's doesn't feel enslaved to the direction either. So he really lets the actors find their way around.
And it's a very collapsed rehearsal process. Mm. Or a play, you know, it's a full length play and we have 2 weeks from beginning to end to get it ready.
Right. So you had to go down there with kind of the lines already beginning to work in your head. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thanksgiving. No. We visited our friend.
Our mutual friend.
Mutual friend. Yeah. Chicago actor Laura Fisher. And we were at sea and she said, how much are you guys working on this each day? And we said, about an hour. And she goes, no.
This is a full-time job now, she said. And she introduced us to the app Line Learner. And we got our lines ready. And I think by the time we got down here, we were doing okay. And last night, we did maybe our second or third run through. And we're pretty much off
of the entire play, yeah.
And we were just as off book as the younger people. So...
Very good.
Well, we have more lines.
And we have more lines.
So and it's a different experience. Okay. It's a different experience. So it's one thing to know the lines in your kitchen in Evanston, Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
It's another thing to know them even on the beach in Key West, but then you put it on the stage with the lights and the props and the costumes and the doors and the running. It's a whole different set of muscles.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really different. Yeah.
And it was different. I was pretty much off book. And then the first run through, like the first, it's just a stumble through, Patrick said. I was like, to combine physical in any way with what I already knew, I was just lost again.
Yeah.
It was just lost at all.
It's kind of fun. I mean, it does give you a lot of time to kind of observe yourself and go, wow, that is, and I'm sure you, because you do it all the time, you don't do that anymore. But because, you know, we did it a long time ago and now we're doing it again. Now I notice like, oh, right, that feeling of just being in midair on stage, like with no context at all. And then the next day, like settling and kind of like, oh, there's the context. And then the next day going like, ah, right, I can do this and not be thinking I am on stage, not be thinking, oh, that line is coming up. I can just kind of be in the context. But it's not that way at first, and I forgot that.
I wish there were a better secret to it, but it's repetition, 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 until the water sinks down to the level of the roots, you know? Every day it gets a little deeper and a little more in your bones and in your body.
No, and there's about 10 pages toward the end of the play that the narrative sort of stops, and there's these funny play within a play thing going on and everything. Mm-hmm. And all the actors, it's hard when there's no narrative going, and it's like
all of the
when actors. Do I say is this my is this my and then it's hard not to think like, okay, I've got an O coming up and there's an like a page later, was probably five speeches late. Okay, I think I can do this.
Yeah, and you know, we thought it was just us.
Yeah,
and then and so like yesterday, we said to the young actor who opens the play with us and is the other lead. He's wonderful, and we said, "Can we meet a little early? We're struggling with the opening." And he goes, "Oh, so am I." And it was like, oh, thank goodness it's not just us. And all three of us were saying, this is one of the hardest parts of the play for us. And then we found out last night again.
These 10 pages I just talked about.
Everybody was having trouble with, not just us.
So we're all going in early on our own to
kind of work it out.
Well, and Tom, I know you to be a lover of music, but I don't know whether you're a musician because this is like music. You have to learn the notes and when you come in. And it's, again, repetition. Is that a thing? Is that a tool in your box, a club in your bag, music?
I can read music. I could play music.
He does a beautiful blues in C.
Yeah. No, but I can read music. But no, I wouldn't say that I I don't play music anymore, and I can't say my mathematical mind or musical mind is very well tuned at this point.
Right. Is this experience making you either yearn to do more of this or write a play for yourselves that the two of you can be in?
It does make us want to write a play.
Yes. After the first thing, after our first run through, when I was the first night of rehearsal, it was absolute terror. I thought of writing a play about us doing this play, and whatever the altitude of Key West is, 4 feet, called like terror at 4 feet. But that would be a very meta kind of exercise. So I doubt that's going to happen, but
I don't want to leave the actor who's playing Oliver, our colleague, nameless, as I said, he just came in. It's Jeremy Zoma who came in. He was wonderful, wonderful actor. And we're having a great time working with him. Melanie Keller, who's from Chicago, is...
and has worked up at Penn Players a lot, and just a director and actor.
Also another young actor from Chicago. His name is Dylan Rogers.
He's in his 20s.
20s, really young.
Really young, yes. Yeah. There are people in their 20s roaming around the earth.
Yeah, and a great young actress who's part in Key West and sometimes in Los Angeles. Her name's Jessica Miano Cruel. And they've been a blast. And a lot of them have spent more time down here or are here part-time. So they also tell us the really fun things to do here.
And Jessica's mom owns one of the coolest hotels.
Oh, my gosh. We've been there.
We saw jazz
drinks.
There.
Oh,
yeah.
Super fun.
Well, I can think of no better place to be in January if you live in Chicago than Key West.
Great. The locals think it's freezing, but I've been swimming twice. And
it's a nipple-tingling 68 degrees.
Yes, exactly. It's like it's as warm as our Lake Michigan in the summer. It's very lovely. You know, there are chickens everywhere in Key West. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yes, they're protected.
They are protected, and they wander the streets. And roosters, so you're awakened by roosters every day.
They're like cows in India. Are they sacred?
Yes.
And
they're beautiful.
I mean, yesterday we saw the first time we saw one that didn't look beautiful. The rest of them, like,
we ate it.
I was like, look,
it's on a sandwich.
The feathers shiny and bright, and you know, they're all their feet are perfect. Their beaks, I'm like, what is happening?
They're like paintings.
They're like paintings of chickens. The healthiest chickens and roosters I have ever seen in my life, and they are everywhere.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around.
Paul Slade Smith's romantic comedy, The Angel Next Door, starring my guests Barbara Wallace and Tom Wolfe, is in its final week of performances at the Waterfront Playhouse in Key West. Go to waterfrontplayhouse.org for more information. Then send us your door-slamming skills via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks, as always, to underwear model Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Amy Shields. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to playwright Ken Ludwig, who's written one or two backstage farces of his own. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 948/2844ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. I gotta say, you guys look incredibly rested, and there's not one of you pacing nervously in the background looking over your lines. You look really good, and I wish I was gonna be able to get down there to see it.
Well, we'll see if you needed to see it. I'm sure it'll be great.
We'll let you know if you missed something.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.